Good morning. I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome here, WEAA, to the new Mark Steiner Show. It's good to have you all with us this morning. And if you follow the news about Mayor Sheila Dixon, no, we're not talking about the debacle she's facing in her career as mayor, but what happened several weeks ago with Peer-to-Peer, which is a youth organization we're going to learn about here on this first part of the Mark Steiner Show this morning, where they asked the mayor to and the city government to fund $3 million to Peer-to-Peer that we will learn about. Mayor Dixon said no. The city government had a huge argument about it on the city council. The $3 million will not be there. But we're going to learn a great deal about this organization today that is becoming a national model, a model for cities around the country to look at to see what could actually change the lives of young people in the city. And as all of you know, many young people in Baltimore face devastating futures, people are not looking or paying attention or investing in our young people, that we see things turning around in our city schools under the direction of Dr. Andres Alonso. But there's a long way to go, and there's whole groups of students in this town that are wonderful, positive role models, who are building great lives, and are passing that on to their peers, hence Peer-to-Peer, which we'll learn about this hour with our guests. In the studio with me are Trinya Smith, who is founder of the local chapter of the Hip Hop Congress. She is a Boodle, which is a Baltimore Urban Debate League graduate. She went to Northwestern High School, got a debate scholarship to go to Towson University. She graduated this year in the class of 08, and she will be teaching social studies in middle school here in Baltimore City this fall. We're also joined by Michaela Brown, who is also with the Hip Hop Congress, also with Boodle. Part of yours, you're organizing urban revitalization systems, Follow Your Dreams Records, a Baltimore City College student, 16 years old, no time to breathe, and Donatia Clapperton, who is with Wide Angle Youth Media. She's homeschooled. She is 15, and next year when she turns 16, she'll be graduating high school. I don't know how that's done, so young and so fast. And Damian Poole is involved with three of the organizations that make up Peer-to-Peer. He's with Follow Your Dreams Records, the Baltimore Urban Debate League, the Baltimore Hip Hop Congress. He is a student at Baltimore City Community College, about to transfer to Morgan State University. And folks, welcome. Good to have you all with us.
Thank you.
Good morning.
And you can join us too and get in on this conversation with our four guests who are part of Peer-to-Peer to find out what's going on in the world of young people in our community. And the number here is 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Really looking forward to you being part of this conversation. Or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. 410-319-8888 as we talk to Peer-to-Peer. Well, Trinya, let me start with you since I guess you're the senior member of this group.
Yes.
That makes you old, doesn't it?
I know. It's okay.
Let's define some things here. There are two things I'd like to kind of talk about. First, let's define just what is Peer-to-Peer. Because when I looked on the website, it listed 10 or 12 organizations that are part of Peer-to-Peer.
Sure.
So let's define what that is first, and then talk a bit about why you were seeking funding and why you didn't get it, and then talk more about this the essence of the work that you all do. Go ahead, Trinya.
Sure. Okay. So Peer-to-Peer Enterprises is a collaboration of organizations in the city that have either been doing any work working with young people, training, mentoring, tutoring other young people, or organizational bodies that would like to do that. And the body would like to start an investment fund in the city that allows for programming to be sustained in order for that to continue or to create programs to exist in order for the peer-to-peer model to function. Because the 20 or so organizations that are already a part of the peer-to-peer collaboration already know the model works. They have been doing it for years now, and they have proven success records. So Peer-to-Peer Enterprises is that collaboration of organizations, but the peer-to-peer model and the investment fund is what we are attempting to create right now in the city so that we can multiply what's already happening because we know how successful it is. And the peer-to-peer model is based in a knowledge-based economy in which we would take the skills and knowledge that the young people already have and create investments with those and a return off of it. So right now, most things function in a product-based economy where there's a need or a demand for a product, somebody supplies that, and then they are able to get the return off of it. Well, It's the same thing with skills and knowledge. Our young people in the city have a tremendous amount of skills and knowledge that they need to be giving and providing the services to other young people in the city. And we need to figure out a way to, like many institutions have, harness that knowledge and skills and figure out a way to mass distribute it around the city. The peer-to-peer model is most effective in that matter, one, because the young people in the city need a social location that is genuine and authentic to them to start from. They have the experiential knowledge that is needed to understand how to overcome obstacles that they are dealing with in their homes and in their lives. And then it's also not a means of having to find a business center, for instance. I mean, the product-based economy is location, location, location. You have to be at the right place at the right time. Well, with the knowledge-based market system, you can create your own knowledge-based center for where the product is going to come out of. And that comes in the form of these organizations. So when you harness that, then you can distribute it on a more effective level.
Okay, but I want to delve into that a little more deeply, but I'd like to kind of introduce the four of you to the world here.
Sure.
As we're talking about peer-to-peer, which had this controversy with the city over funding, and as an organization of students around the city, how many young people are involved in peer-to-peer, do you think?
I don't know. Probably maybe 200. You mean like actively?
We're involved in the groups that are part of this coalition.
It's hard for us to figure out like exactly how many. For instance, like the Baltimore Urban Debate League, we serve about 1,000 students. And that organization is a part of the peer-to-peer collaboration. And, you know, Youth as Resources serve students and the Hip Hop Congress serve students. So, I mean, I don't even know if we could. I mean, I guess we could figure out right now, but we need a pen and paper.
Right, I'm curious. I mean, maybe that's one of the reasons people don't know about peer-to-peer, because to be able to say to people,
right,
X number of students were involved and we touch X number of students' lives, it's a huge piece of this. But where do you all come from? I mean, talk a bit about your own lives and how you got into peer-to-peer and where you went to school and how you got involved with what you got involved with. Michaela? Take that mic and there it goes. Speaking of, there you go.
Well, I'm from the west side of Baltimore. I'm from the Pennsylvania Avenue area of Baltimore. And I lived there for 15 years of my life. And I did a lot of community stuff there. And I was involved in a lot of camps and community activities. And then I went to Baltimore City College. And that's how I got involved with more people and found out about my organizations through friends and the opportunities that they had.
So where'd you go to middle school? I'm curious.
I went to George G. Kelson Elementary Middle School. It's in Sandtown.
Yeah, Sandtown, Winchester.
Yes.
And Donatia?
Well, I'm on the east side of Baltimore. I've been living there for 12 years of my life. I've been homeschooled since the first grade.
You've been homeschooled since the first grade?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I basically got into this because when I was younger, we did a lot of after school programs to get certain skills towards homeschooling, which basically I did like mythology tests and stuff, and then I got into Wide Angle through the library.
Wide Angle was Wide Angle Youth Media.
Right.
Right.
Through the library, and when I really, really learned about peer-to-peer is when I learned about the Algebra Project, the Baltimore Algebra Project, which is
Algebra Project.
Yes. Uh-huh. Which is upstairs from the Wide Angle Youth Media office. And that was basically where I learned everything about peer-to-peer and everything that was going on with Sheila Dixon and so on.
And Damien, what is your sojourn into all of this?
Let's see. Graduated from Digital Harbor High School last year. I was doing music in the ninth grade, just writing, songs about, the stuff that was going on in my community. And my music teacher, he introduced me to debate and Boodle. So at first I didn't want to do Boodle, but then I decided to do it. And it opened up a tremendous amount of doors for me, whether it was with my music and going on the trip to Ohio to start the chapter of the Hip Hop Congress. And doing community actions for the Hip Hop Congress, to debating in London and taking the things that I learned from there and bringing it back here. And just like...
You went to London to debate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just a need and want to see change in my community because, I mean, I live on the east side of Baltimore off of Fayette and Curley near the Highland Town, Patterson Park area.
Right.
And all you see is violence and gangs in that area. So it's like, what do you do? I mean, you can't just sit there and watch it happen because if that was the case, I'd be just as bad as, you know, the people that aren't providing peer-to-peer the money that they need to have these sustainable groups. So just having that kind of mindset that change is necessary in order for us to survive. So.
So this is fascinating. So let me, Trinia, what about you? I mean, I know you're about to become a school teacher, so you've gone through a lot of stuff from your high school years.
Definitely.
At Northwestern, becoming part of Baltimore Urban Debate League, getting a scholarship to Towson to study debate. Now you're about to become a school teacher.
Right. I think the reason I'm extremely passionate and invested in making sure that this happens is because I firsthand know the change that it can make in a person's life and how that can change a community and then eventually change the world. So I was born in Baltimore. I wasn't raised here. I was raised in Georgia, but I moved back in my first year of high school. So I went from one culture and one type of life.
Where in Georgia?
College Park, Georgia, about 10 minutes outside of Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Very suburban. You know, we went to the farms. So I moved from there, and I moved right into Northwest Baltimore and went into a completely different culture that, for me, was extremely shocking. I had never experienced.
What was shocking about the culture you moved into from Atlanta?
Everything.
Like, give some examples.
Well, okay, so the schools I went to in the South were predominantly mixed schools. We had all the best computer equipment and books and everything. And, you know, for where I grew up, the disparate conditions and resources in communities of color versus not communities of color wasn't an issue, or at least it wasn't talked about or so blatantly visible to everyone. And when I came here, the school that I went to, I mean, Northwestern at the time, like, they had the I remember them telling me, it's like, they had the number one debate league in the city. And I was like, okay, you know. But the books were, you know, the books, they had poor books. They didn't have, after school programming. They didn't have all these things that I kind of assumed must be a part of the education of a young person.
Well, let me ask you for this question as we're talking to four young people who are part of peer-to-peer here in Baltimore City. We're going to delve into the heart of peer-to-peer here in a minute and what it means, what the work they're trying to do, what happened with the city and why they didn't get $3 million, what that might have meant if they had gotten that $3 million, and where they're taking this organization and why it's becoming a national model. You just heard Trinia Smith, Damian Poole is with us, Michaela Brown, and Donatia Clapperton, all part of this movement here in Baltimore of young people. But what makes, and by the way, the number here is 410-319-8888 to join us here, 410-319-8888. Now, what makes the four of you, people? I know people listening to this program going, are they different than other young people? Is there something different about the reason why you chose the path you chose? I mean, you were talking a minute ago, Damien, about, on the corners in your neighborhood, it's drugs, violence, dislocation. You live off of Pennsylvania Avenue, which has become, in its heyday, was an incredible place, but its heyday is gone, and pick that mic up a little bit. And now it's a very rough place. So what is it? Are you just as, like, in the 50s, I might have called you the nerds and the geeks of the world? Or are you kids coming out of those neighborhoods, who for some reason took a different path and are trying to give back? But talk a bit about why you did what you did in the face of everything else that you faced.
It's kind of hard to be the same.
What do you mean?
Like, everybody wants to follow a trend, you know, fashion, everybody wants to be, nowadays, everybody wants to be the same. And that's the problem. That's creating the illusion that being the same is cool. And I think that's what that's why peer-to-peer is so important. Because we make being different cool. Being smart cool. Being, fighting for education cool. Going against a system where they publicize youth involvement, but when we fight, they choose not to help us.
Hold on for that. I'm going to come back to what you just said about we fight and they choose not to help us, because I want to jump off on that in a minute. But let me come back to where I first started and go over to Michaela and then to Nasha. Same idea.
Well, the reason why I got involved was because I wanted to show that the youth in Baltimore City can make a difference and that we do have positive youth. Because the first thing people say when they talk about the youth of Baltimore, oh, they're bad, they're not going to make it out, they're going to die where they live at, they probably won't see 21. And the people on peer-to-peer are examples of how, because we have youth over the age of 21 that are still alive, that are fighting for the same thing we're fighting for, and have the same beliefs we have. We don't want to do anything but express ourselves in the most positive way and to give back to our communities, and that's all peer-to-peer is about.
Donation?
I became a part of this because I haven't really had that firsthand experience of, like, the whole violence and everything in Baltimore, but I have a friend that had went through a lot of stuff, and I thought about how his life could have been changed, and if he had had the right help or certain things, like, for instance, like Wide Angle, how it helps keep those people out of trouble and so on. And I really wanted to show everybody that it's not always the youth's fault for getting into that trouble, that they just need that help and that time.
We're talking with four young people from our community who are trying to make a difference. The organization is called Peer to Peer. It is a group, an organization, a coalition of organizations around the city that really is very revolutionary in terms of its outlook, in terms of change that it's making, the approach it's taking. It's becoming a national model. Many people don't know about it. More people need to know about it. They're here today, here on the Mark Steiner Show. You can join us at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Trinia Smith, Damian Poole, Michaela Brown, and Donatia Clapperton. 410-319-8888. Or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. But you said something a minute ago, Damian. I want to kind of explore this, because part of the public image of peer-to-peer is that a bunch of radical young students who are always in the system's face and are at the outside and are causing more trouble than they're changing. I mean, that's part of the image. Now, I'm not saying that is who you are, but and you just said a minute ago, Damian, that part of it is we're making kind of the outsider be cool, the intelligent kid, the kid who wants to get ahead, be cool, but also saying you used the terms that you were that you had to confront the system, so to speak, to make things change. So talk about what my people say is a contradiction there, and who you really are.
For instance, myself, I do hip hop, and hip hop is looked at nowadays as negative. There's this negative connotation of hip hop as though it's so bad that nothing positive can come out of it. So I tell you, I use hip hop to change the face of my community. The songs that I write, the things that I use to make myself better, as a tool to create positive change in my communities. Like I said, being the outsider, when you're in Boodle in high school, when I first heard
about the debate league,
I was like, I don't want to do the debate league. That don't sound like it's too hot. Like, when you think about debate league, you think about dudes that wear glasses with tape around the lens and suspenders and the pocket protectors, right?
So suspenders
are supposed to be cool.
Yeah. I wear suspenders.
So I went to my first Buddha tournament, and it changed my life. Like, just not even in the rounds yet. Like, just sitting in the cafeteria and watching all these young people using knowledge and making it fun and making it easy and cool. So when the first Boodle season was over, I definitely did walk down the street with my Baltimore Urban Debate League backpack on, with the Baltimore Algebra Project button on. Like, I feel like once we stop trying to be like everyone else and take on the responsibilities as individuals to say, this is my community, this is my city, this is my state, this is my country, I, as an individual, not only do I need to do positive things, but I need to also take what I know and what I do to create a chain reaction in my community. So everybody will want to do positive things and things that create real change. A lot of people talk about, we're gonna fight and we're gonna get this money, and when we get this money, we're gonna move to the suburbs and we're gone. and that's their idea of change, and nothing really happens. But with peer-to-peer, these organizations are based in the community, and we the communities that we're based in, we effectively change the outlook of what youth really are in Baltimore City. When you look at the news, a lot of times all you hear is, a bunch of gangbangers beat this lady up on a bus and lumped her eye up, and yeah. But then it's like when you hear about peer-to-peer on the news and you see all these positive kids, you know, doing campouts in front of City Hall, fighting for things that they need and that they feel is a need for not just students in Baltimore City, and not just for students in Maryland, but across the country, and becoming a stepping stone to success. It's like the youth are so powerful. It's like, what can't we do?
So part of what you're trying to do is to understand this for our listeners and folks joining us. These folks need your support and want to hear your questions and thoughts at 410-319-8888 as we talk about peer-to-peer and with the young people from peer-to-peer. Is it you have made a choice, but you're not just kind of standing up in some elitist way separate from the rest. You're saying as part of peer-to-peer, it's your role now to give back, to try to kind of unleash the energy of your peers in a more positive direction, and that's what you're spending your time doing. So I got that right?
Yes.
And I think that's actually, my story is, like, I came in, right, and I was from Baltimore, but I didn't know Baltimore. But it was when I got involved with the organization that was using a peer-to-peer model, the Debate League, that I understood what it meant to have ownership, and through that be empowered, right, to take ownership of that community and want it to be positive. And, I mean, that's what I see in my young people. Like, that's what made me want to go back in and be a part of making sure kids feel ownership of the community, but also feel empowered enough to make it what they needed to be, create that system.
I want to get to a phone call here to talk to our people here from peer-to-peer at 410-319-8888. And Stephen, in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hey, peace, everybody.
Peace.
How's everything going?
Great.
First thing I wanted to ask y'all, especially to you, what are some of the hardships you face, first in everyday life, and second with your involvement with peer-to-peer?
Who is you?
Any four of you. Michaela, why don't you start off? You want to start off?
Me being an inner city youth, I mean, just living and walking down the street is a hardship. Going to a Baltimore City public school is a hardship, saying as though that we're not adequately funded and that nobody really cares about us anymore. Like, we're just pushed off to the side, and it's all about the kids from the suburban area on the public school system instead of giving back to the communities and trying to help us, you know, better our education system and to do something positive and to become the politicians or the lawyers that we want to be.
All right.
I mean, do you all find it hard to get through?
Yes.
It's very hard. Like, just trying to stay positive when so much negative energy is aimed towards you is a difficulty in itself. And it's so many outlined things that come into play when just being a youth, because we as youth, we have so many things to worry about, you know, college. If you're in high school and college, getting your grades right, you know, trying to build yourself up.
Well, one of the things you said, though, was negative image. One of the things, I'm going to go back to the phones here, but one of the things that we have to talk about is the negative image that young black people have in the society and in the city and this metropolitan area. You touched on it earlier then when you said what the news covers. Gangbangers, people getting beaten up. But what they don't cover is peer-to-peer fasting in City Hall. What they don't cover is the Algebra Project tutoring kids. What they don't cover is the excitement of Boodle winning a debate and having thousands of kids cheering as they would in a football game. What they don't cover is Wide Angle Media making documentaries and great movies from young people who never knew anything about video before they walked in the door. We're going to talk about that more when we return here. We're going to take a short break in a minute. So Brenda, Reverend Aki, John, and all the other people who are called in, please hold on. Be back in just a couple of minutes to take your calls at 410-319-8888 as we explore the world of peer-to-peer here in our community, why they're so important and powerful, and why they need our support, who they are. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner here on The Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA, the voice of the community. And we are talking today with young people from Peer-to-Peer, which is a phenomenal interest organization in this town that doesn't get enough press or coverage in the positive sense that it should. I want to thank Stephen for giving us a call earlier in the program. And we're going to go back to the phones here at 410-319-8888. And we're here with Trinia Smith. And Damian Poole and Michaela Brown and Donatia Clapperton, all part of Peer-to-Peer, all part of the many organizations that make up Peer-to-Peer, whether it's the Baltimore Urban Debate League, Hip Hop Congress, Follow Your Dreams Records, you're organizing urban revitalization systems, and many other interesting groups that are part of this. And of course, Wide Angle Youth Media, can't leave them out of this, and all the others that are part of Kids on the Hill. And we're also now joined by Chantel Clea, who's chair of the Baltimore City Youth Commission and a junior at Morgan State. Good to have you with us as well, Chantel.
Thank you for having me.
So, and you all can join us here, 410-319-8888. And I promise you'll rate to the phones. And who's been holding on the longest? Brenda, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Brenda.
Thanks for taking my
call. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to commend each one of you for promoting positivity in the city of Baltimore and among the youth. I have a three-tiered question. The first is, what role did parental involvement play in each one of your getting involved in all the different activities that you're in? And what age does the Boodle program begin, and how can I become involved?
Are you a parent?
I am a parent, yes.
Okay, how old are your kids?
I have a 7-year-old. He'll be 8.
Oh, great. Good, good, good. So let's start. It's interesting. How about parental involvement in your own lives? Did that make a difference, Damien?
Well, my mother, like, I just started building a relationship again with my mother when I was 12. But her role in everything that I do since then has been tremendous. I mean, she when I do my music, she comes out. When we do actions for peer-to-peer, she's there. I mean, people call my mom Mama Spitter because she's everywhere. Like, and it's like her involvement, just like parental involvement as a whole, is needed if peer-to-peer is, or any youth organization is going to continue, because sometimes the youth may get discouraged, but it's the parents that come back in as a reinforcement to say that this is something positive and this is something that is needed.
Michaela, why don't you go on, and then we'll go to Donatia.
I realize that I'm very lucky to have both of my parents involved in what I do, and that they encourage me to do the things that I push to do. Like, they've never told me I can't do anything. They've never told me no. They would give reasons why they disagree, but they would always help me and get involved. And like Damien said, parental involvement is a big thing with youth-run organizations.
Donatia.
I would actually have to thank my mother, because I wasn't going to get into why I didn't go into any of this kind of stuff, but she kind of made me do it. And if it wasn't for her, I would not be a part of peer-to-peer.
Well, so let me ask you this question, though, because I think the spirit of the question was, part of it was that a lot of young people in the city, and we know it's real, don't have the parental support. Their parents are either on a negative side, involved in the street at some level, children of people in prison, strung out on drugs or alcohol, or on the positive side, don't have parental involvement because mothers may be working 2 or 3 jobs just to keep a roof over people's heads and just to pay the bills. So And those kids often are ones that, so I hear people going, okay, well, the only reason you guys are part of peer-to-peer, that you're in this, is because you come from fairly solid homes, so that makes you different. So Trinia and David, let's get it out of the table, that's why I'm saying it.
Well, my mom had to work, like when we moved. I mean, I did grow up in a suburban area, but we were never, you know, we were always poor, you know. So when we moved here, right. That didn't change. So my mom worked she worked three jobs. When I came home from school, I had to work. I worked, you know, right from school up until about 10 o'clock every night. And the reason that I got involved was more about the community and the family that this organization presented me with, right? Like, I needed some extra support outside of school, and I found it at that organization. And it, for me, it was like I could have ended up in the streets. And for a while, I hung out at night outside because that's what was there. But it wasn't until the organizations were in front of me. And I think this is the big thing. This is why I push this, that peers need to know. People need to know, because when young people know about these things, they're looking for that support. But if the positive support is in place, they do want to, you know, young people do want positive things, but it has to be available to them. You know, I came because I was going the wrong way. And somebody was like, listen, this Baltimore Urban Debate League, they'll pay for you to go across the country for free. They'll pay for you to go to college. They'll give you food on Saturdays. And that's why I ended up there. And I, you know.
I mean, the young people I've met who've been part of the Baltimore Urban Debate League or Wide Angle Media are an amazing group of young people that the media should be focusing on them and their stories and not just on the stories of people who are always getting jammed up with the law. But what were you saying, Damien? And then we're going to go back to the phones.
I mean, from being in a household where, you know, you come home and nobody's there. And when you go to look in your refrigerator and there's nothing in there except the baking soda and a light bulb, it's like, you know, you got to find something to do.
Was
like,
that you?
That was me. I mean, and coming home on some nights and it'd be freezing outside and it's freezing inside and having to use the stove for heat. You know, it's a situation where You look for that guidance and a comfort zone, some place where you could, because a physical house may not be your home. And I found my home in these organizations where, you know, they didn't just provide me with a service like debating or, you know, with the Hip Hop Congress. It was like a family, like these people are a part of me and I'm a part of them as well.
Let me switch gears here before we go back to the phones at 410-319-88. And I want to get back to the phones here, but I have to raise this issue because I think it's important. And we've also just been joined by Chantal Clear, who is a chair of the Baltimore City Youth Commission and also a student here at Morgan State University, where we're broadcasting from today. And you will be a student, too, soon here, Damien, at Morgan State University.
Yes, sir.
The controversy around peer-to-peer and the city government was really very critical. And I want to put that on the table for a minute, because it seems to me that my read of it was that there are some other people have come to me from different neighborhoods. Nargis Hyman from Park Heights, who's done amazing work with young people over in Belvedere. And she could get no money this year. The money was all going to kind of establish groups inside the government rather than into neighborhood groups. You came to the city council, asked for $3 million. The mayor had and has her youth programs that she thinks are the way to go. So let's talk about the difference between the different approaches here and what really happened. And whoever wants to jump off first, but we have a limited amount of time, so let's keep it focused and in. So we do want to hear from Chantel, but you want to say something real fast, Michaela?
What I wanted to say was, through all of this, we realized that the mayor has established groups and established things that she wants to fund. But we also realize that it's kind of unfair to the rest of us who want to do something positive and actually help her and the city by promoting positive things and getting the youth off the streets. All we wanted were 1,000 youth jobs and $3 million to bring in more peer-to-peer organizations and to support these peer-to-peer organizations. And that was the very least we could ask for. That was pocket change, and we couldn't even get that.
Shannon, do you want to jump in here? Which you've been very patient. We were supposed to be on the other week, but we had to dump it because the mayor got in some jams, and so we talked about that instead. But we'll talk. Go ahead.
I want to say first thank you for having me on. There are tons of after-school programs that exist in Baltimore City. They all may not get funding because there is limited funding. Everyone thinks that their program is the best, and everyone thinks that their program should be funded. Let me clear the air. I support the principles of peer-to-peer, wide-angle media, and some of the other after-school programs. So I don't want it to be where you guys feel as though I'm attacking you or I'm not in support of peer-to-peer, because I am. There are two things that plays a factor in this. It's reality and it's perception. The reality is there isn't the money to be funded. That's the reality. And the perception that everyone's getting is that the mayor's not funding any after-school programs, and that the city's not giving any money to kids, and they're letting these kids go hungry, and you know the city just doesn't care, or the mayor just doesn't care. That's not the reality. The reality is that there are tons of after-school programs. Everyone can't get funded. Peer-to-peer will not be the saving grace for Baltimore City. There are tons of programs that do the same things that peer-to-peer do. It may not fall under the peer-to-peer enterprise.
Now, to be fair here, Chantel, this is not a leaping session. So whoever wants to jump in can jump in here. Then we're going to open the phones to keep the conversation going. Who wants to respond?
All right. So,
Damien, go ahead, please.
You said that peer-to-peer won't be the safe haven for the city, right?
The saving grace.
The saving grace.
Right.
Okay. So let's take, for instance, there was a student in Boodle.
Mm-hmm.
His mother died, mm-hmm. right? So he could have left Boodle.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is a part of peer-to-peer. But instead, the family that he built in peer-to-peer created an environment where he could stay and be positive. My whole thing with the government and peer-to-peer is, you say that that the reality is that there's no funding, and that every group thinks that they're the best. But How I'm not understanding, like, for instance, you're a youth commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I haven't seen any of you in the community, and I don't even know what y'all do.
And that can be said about your program as well. It's the exposure that it's what you're exposed to. Before Boodle, you weren't exposed to Boodle, so you didn't know anything about it. So it all, and you guys were talking about media and what is covered in the media. A lot of the stuff, a lot of the good things that the Youth Commission and other programs, organizations do, aren't covered.
What do you guys do in the communities that are impoverished and aren't receiving the services that these other communities are receiving? My question.
The Youth Commission, some of the things that we do, we actually get into the trenches. There are recreation centers that we attend to, that we make sure if there are programs that aren't there, we advocate on behalf of some of those recreation centers. The Rosemount Recreation Center is one of them. Some of your programs may not be in there. So we'll say, okay, this is a program that we think needs to be in this particular community or in this particular recreation center. The Youth Commission, what we do is we advocate on behalf of young people in Baltimore City and to the mayor and the city council on programs and initiatives that will help them.
Let me just interject, because we have a lot of people calling in. And Trinia, a very quick thought.
It's actually just a sentence. Oh, first, the lady who called before asked about Boodle. We have a middle school league, and it goes up, and we are trying to go down to the elementary level. So hopefully her second or third grader at some point can get that. I just wanted to just say something about the reality and perception thing. This whole idea that there is no funding, the reality is there's no funding. The reality is that we're funding prisons and tons of prison systems that lock the kids up, as opposed to investing in them early on. The reality is that a high school dropout costs us $200,000 more after they drop out, as opposed to an investment now. So what we're asking for the city to do is to look at that reality. That's true. There's no funding. That's because we're buying jails, right? So let's look at the reality and change the reality is what peer-to-peer is asking.
So part of peer-to-peer, besides doing work with young people one-on-one, whether it's Algebra Project or Kids on the Hill or Boodle, the Urban Debate Leagues or Wide Angle Youth Media or the others, Hip Hop Congress, is also the political struggle that you all are involved in
to make
some changes about how we spend money and how society is structured. That's a huge piece of what
you're doing. There's an investment that must be made in the
youth. Reopen the phone, I promise, at 410-319-8888. John in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, John. You're on the air.
It's Sean.
Oh, Sean, I'm sorry, man. Yeah. Said John on my screen. I apologize.
I just want to say good morning to everybody, and thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Just wanted to kind of piggyback on the what the last caller had said, just giving you guys a compliment, you know, for what you guys are doing in the community. Because, you know, as normal, people are so quick to condemn you guys when you're doing something bad. That's on CNN and everything else. But, you know, here's some, you know, intelligent kids doing something constructive and positive for the community, and it's not being televised. But, you know, me and a couple of my buddies were having a conversation about, you know, the condemnation that you guys are going through. And I said, well, part of that falls on us. And he says, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, you know, because we always talk about what we went through as kids and how, you know, things are different. And I said, well, man, I said, the only thing that's different is that the kids nowadays are being faced with issues that we weren't, you know, facing until we were like in our late teens. Which one? You know, sex, you know, teen pregnancy and all of that stuff. And we had a family structure intact. So mm-hmm. we always had an uncle or older cousin or somebody there to kind of, you know, keep us on that straight path. So I said, that's why, you know, if, you know, you can't start a mentoring program or anything nowadays, you can get involved with something. So, you know, instead of complaining about the kids, you know, try to do something to help them out. And but second comment was to the young brother was talking about, you know, the negative image that hip-hop has. I'm pretty sure you did your research and you know that hip hop wasn't always that way. You know, during the 80s, you know, it was something that was, you know, considered more artistic. And then during the 90s, it became more political with, you know, groups like Public Enemy and KRS-One. But I think the biggest contributor to the negativity is the record companies because, you know, they don't want no kid talking about nothing positive. If you talk about busting a cap, that's what they want to hear.
Well, Sean, you make a very important point that last one. I appreciate the call and being part of the show. I mean, there's no mistake that record companies are pushing what they want to in hip-hop, and that... which is why that almost 90% of all the sales of hip hop are in white suburban neighborhoods, not black neighborhoods. We should remember who we're selling to. And why? 410-319-8888. And let's go to Donna in Baltimore. You're on the air. Hi, Donna, you there?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
First, let's commend the four brilliant young people that you guys have on the panel.
Amen to
Thank
that.
Thank you very much.
I'm actually Donasia's mother. And I'm a
it's a setup, huh?
I was trying not to call in, but I'm an advocate, personal advocate, invested in not only her, but in Wide Angle Media and peer-to-peer grouping, and this has really sparked her political side. But I have a question to the youth commissioner.
Chantel, sure. Uh-huh.
As a whole, I believe none of us will say we cannot appreciate what... the city government has done for the youth in Baltimore City thus far. But specifically, what is the mayor given or will give to peer-to-peer? I understand she has other youth groups and youth works and so on and so forth, but here we have one group who is shouting help. Is there any help going to be focused towards this group of young people who are trying to change their lives and their communities? And being mindful that the youth who are a part of the peer-to-peer programs are citizens of Baltimore City, mm-hmm. and they have a voice, and they are the future voters of tomorrow. So mm-hmm. let's support them as much as we can and give them some hope. So, again, my question is basically, what is the mayor willing to do right now for this group of children, young people who are raising their hand and saying, help me?
Well, I can't speak on behalf of the mayor, but what I can say is that peer-to-peer enterprise, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's made up of 7 youth organizations.
No, over 20.
Okay, over 20. But the last report that I had was 7 of them, and I'm sorry, 17 of them, and 7 of them are already received funding from the city. It may not be what, you know, everyone think it should be. But like I said, all the programs won't be able to get their ideal amount of money. But there are 7 of the programs that are involved in peer-to-peer enterprise do receive money from the city already.
Go ahead, Michaela.
Well, what I wanted to say about the statement that the youth commissioner just made
Chantel,
that's not true.
Chantel.
We have the report and the paper. The organizations that are funded by the city is not funded for their peer-to-peer aspect. They're only funded for other things. It's only one organization.
What do you mean by their peer-to-peer aspect?
Like the mentoring part is not funded. There are other aspects, like Wide Angle Media doesn't only do like the mentoring with the youth and stuff. And that part of their funding, I mean, that part of their organization is not funded. It's the other things that they do that's funded. Just like with
the debate league.
We're not funded for the mentoring aspect that we have either. We're mentored for the fact that we do debate.
But you guys do get money from the city. I mean, the question was, do they receive funds from the city? And they do.
She said peer-to-peer, meaning the peer-to-peer aspect, not the organization and what the other things do.
Because the money's not going into the fund that you guys make.
No,
to
not
your
just
fund.
Not just that, but the organizations that are being funded, they don't create that. The funding that they receive doesn't create jobs for the youth, and that's what peer-to-peer is about.
Well, let me there's an interesting, a lot of phone calls. We'll get back to the calls, but somebody wrote in, many people writing in as well. Amy writes in, the Youth Commission surely does good things, and Dixon funds a number of programs, but that doesn't mean that peer-to-peer does not need to be funded. Need was in capitals. This program is different than others in that the youth is helping each other. That is youth-run, that provides real jobs, etc.
Yes.
The representative of the city says that peer-to-peer will not be the saving grace of the city. It perhaps could.
Right.
What
yes.
seems to have happened is the mayor is offended that students are demanding things. And finally, there is $3 million in the rainy day fund. If today is not a rainy day for the youth of Baltimore, what is?
I think...
Thanks, Amy.
We concur.
We appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Amy.
And I agree with Amy. Programs need to be funded, but... Again, the money is not there. When I sat in the mayor with some representatives from peer-to-peer and the mayor, she said that she was willing to write letters to funders to say the city doesn't have the money. And she believes that peer-to-peer is great. But, you know, you guys should, if you have the money, please fund these programs. But the city just does not have the money.
Let me go to the phones here at 410-319-8888. And Jamil has been holding on for a long time. You're on the air. Hi, Jamil, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
You're
how
on the
are
air.
You?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace and blessings. Salaam alaikum to all of the staff.
Peace.
Okay. I wanted to say, first and foremost, I think we need another bottom line, you know, being that we are directing this towards the youth. And the support of parents who are concerned about the change that needs to come about before the rest of the children that don't have a God way to help them come out of their ruts of some of the parents who have been stuck in their rut, such as corner store bars, you know, opposed to just drugs on the corners or within houses. I wanted to say also, being still, one of the panelists said something in regards to being jammed up with something concerning law, okay? I'm one of the ones, innocent bystander, raised in Baltimore, but not from Baltimore, have watched Baltimore grow, decree, and the karma that followed me for 7 years since 911, okay? And I've got locked up for that, so I have experienced what we call a little bit of Harriet Tubman, so I have seen those landmarks. You know, and I was able to feel that, but I was locked up for no probable cause just because of my outer ethnic appearance, because nobody knows a person until they actually express themselves either through the pen or through mannerisms. Okay.
Now, Jamil, I'm sorry, we're almost out of time, so.
Well, don't cut me off.
Well, no, we're almost out of time. We have to go off the air in a minute. So I have to ask you to finish up a thought.
My thought is what I would like to do. You go on Woodland Avenue for all the drug-infested areas that was on Woodland Avenue, 3325 Woodland Avenue. I would like to turn that whole block into a landmark for schooling called Mecca House Therapy, meaning there's no...
Okay, Jamil, I'm sorry, but we really... I mean, this is kind of... I hear what you're saying. I mean, I appreciate everything you're doing, but it's a little off the topic we're trying to do. We're almost literally just a minute away from getting off the air, and I do appreciate the call. I wonder, now, just coming back to this, I mean, so... Part of the idea, and we only have a couple minutes at the end of peer-to-peer, is this kind of social investment fund that you want to start to have businesses invest in peer-to-peer besides the city investing in peer-to-peer to create something that goes back out to the community. That's a big piece that we never hear about. We haven't heard from you in a long time, Denise, so go ahead.
I just have one question for Chantel, which was how many other programs have their youth so involved in something? I mean, peer-to-peer is made up of so many youth who are really striving for this, and it's like we're being shut up. And you said there's other after-school programs that are being funded, just not ours. But how many of those are actually asking for it in such a strong way? We've gone through so much struggles for this, and it's just like, no.
I think that all the programs are asking in different ways. Everyone may not be starving themselves, asking for the money, but they are asking. They are lobbying the city, asking for the money. There literally are tons of programs that do the same or have the same principles of peer-to-peer, but they are just not making the news because the news is not covering it's not the sexy topic.
I'm going to say that you all can go to our website at centerforinformationmedia.org to link on to peer-to-peer. We're out of time. The Mark Sentano Show is produced by Jessica Phillips and Justin Levy. We want to thank our guests today, Trinia Smith, Damian Poole, Michaela Brown, and Denasia Clapperton, and Chantel Clea for being with us today. Our interns are Judith Floyd, Salvador Salikas, and Christiana Aronson. I want to thank everyone here at EAA for helping us settle in smoothly to our new home. Thanks to Clean Cuts for providing us office space and studio space. You can hear past episodes of The Steiner Show at www.centerforemergingmedia.org. And this show is dedicated to Jack Williams, my father-in-law, who just passed. May he rest in peace. And for Public Radio WEAA, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care and stay involved.